Okay, thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. And we're glad to have Sharon back from Florida. She made it back. She was tempted to stay out on the beach, but she decided to come on home. All right. If her mother hadn't been with her, we may not see her. What was that? Okay. Now, let's talk about prayer, and we got several that we want to be in prayer for. First of all, please do be in prayer for Wanda Vetch as her husband of over 50, 50, 55 years, and I haven't read, I hadn't gotten the obituary, but 50, 55 years. And so please be in prayer for Wanda, and be in prayer for the whole family as they salute Jim, farewell to heaven. And please be in prayer for me. The Spirit will lead me to say the things that someone there that I don't even know will, the Holy Spirit will convict him, as things said. And please be in prayer for me in the travel. Let's see, please be in prayer, continue to be in prayer for Lila and Cindy at the promotion of their husbands. And so just be in prayer for them, and that Holy Spirit will give them strength and joy and peace this time. Also, please be in prayer for Tish, and in spite of all that she's got going on, poison in one leg and cancer in a couple of places. She's traveling to be with her sister in California at this time. She's traveling today. In fact, she's in the air right now. Yeah. So let's be in prayer for Tish as she travels home. Be in prayer for Bill Hess and Tyson Hess, Paul Hess, the Hess family, all of them. Be in prayer for Don Becker. Be in prayer for Brian Wise. And so let's be in prayer for our young people. And in prayer for our missions, it's the Risleys, and got a few others we're going to be talking about, but right now just be in prayer that God continue to use us there. And then in Africa, got several outreaches in Africa, Joe being one of them, so we need to be in prayer for all of them. Be in prayer for our church, and let's see, any other prayer request. Okay. All right. Okay, tonight we're going to do a back to school special. And I'm sorry that the adults tonight don't think they need that. I don't know why, but they feel like they don't need it. So, but I hope that there'll be those on the internet that will gain, and we are happy for the two families that did bring in their young people. And I tell you what, K Cameron and Tyson could, and Thomas could come up and do as good a job as I'm going to do. They're outstanding in their conduct. But these are good reminders that we're going to look at. And so let's prepare ourselves with prayer and be in prayer for those here on the internet and whoever might listen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this country. We're thankful for so many aspects of this country. We are committed to educating our children, which is good. But Heavenly Father, it comes with so many challenges and attacks, areas of attacks for Satan. So, Father, we pray that we'll go over some things that young people need to be aware of as they start back to school. Pray that your Spirit will open their eyes and just let them see some things that they may not have thought about. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Also, as far as prayer, the Catwoman, Judy Hoffman, her sister, Sandy, her cousin, Shirley, and the car salesman, Sakim, and Romeo's friend, and Orlando. So please be in prayer for them. Okay, we're going to cover some things back to school. Years ago, we used to have a lot of young people come over at the house, and in August, this we'd go over some of these things. I've changed and added, but nevertheless, this was the momentum. Just to kind of direct our thinking, gear our thinking, as we start back to school. I wish somebody had done this to me, but not just in August and September and in October and in November and in December and January. But so let's go over a few things that we need to cover. First of all, we're going to start with a principle given to us in 1 Corinthians 15:33. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Now, this study is for anyone going back to school from the first grade, I guess, through college wouldn't hurt, but maybe some consider themselves young. But if you're in school, you're going to have these challenges. So you need to pay attention, even if you're in just the first grade. You need to pay attention to things that we're going to see. 1 Corinthians 13, and what we're going to be talking about is influence. What we're going to be talking about is picking friends and not being picked, and who you gather and up with, associate with. Now, let's begin with the fact that a lot of us, when we're young, we like to associate ourselves with the most popular or the best athlete or a good-looking girl or whatever it may be. And we're going to look at ways that you have to be careful. You have to be very careful who you pick as friends. And you do not want to wait until they've gotten you in trouble. And we're influenced by those we hang around with, people. That's just all there is to it. We are influenced by those we hang around with. And the idea that the good influences the bad, it doesn't work too often. More often, it's the bad influencing the good. I like to use the illustration. You put a basket of really good fruit, and you put in one rotten orange. Well, it ain't going to be too long before all the oranges are rotten. And so you've got to be careful who you pick and who picks you. If you allow that, I encourage you not to do that. Encourage you to you pick friends. So let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33. Do not be deceived. Okay. Young people, deception is, I just tell you right now, deception is Satan's big ace trump. He loves to deceive. And we're all easily deceived. You may think that you wouldn't be deceived. We're all easily deceived. Mom and dad are easily deceived. We're all deceived. And so you get into your mind, well, it really doesn't matter who I run around with at school. Don't be deceived. Yes, it does. It doesn't really matter who I run around with after school. Yes, it does. Don't deceive yourself. Well, it doesn't really matter. And I go to the drugstore, go here, there with some friends. Yes, it does. Don't deceive yourself. Don't be deceived. And then the next thing is bad company. Well, right there, an illusion. That guy's not bad. That girl's not bad. They're okay. They just a little wild, but they're all right. No, people, young people, be ready to say, this person's not the kind I want to run around with. Now, let's talk about judging. Well, aren't we judging? You're judging yourself. You're not judging them. This is not the kind of person I want to be with. They can do whatever they want to do, live however they want to live, but that's not what I want. To give you an easy example, let's say you're an athlete, and so you've got to keep some pretty strict hours of sleep and exercise and all this. Well, you might want to think twice about running around with somebody who just likes to sit around, eat hamburgers, and watch TV. That's not going to be conducive to your being in good shape. If that's all they want to do, drink milkshakes and eat hamburgers. Boy, that sounds good. But anyway, you got to be careful, because that's not befitting if you're going to be an athlete. Now, if you're not going to be an athlete and you just want to do that, that's another issue. But just showing you, you're not judging them. You're judging yourself. I can't do that. Wish I could, but I can't. It's not that what they're doing is bad. All I just can't do it. It's not me. It's not what I want for me and my pursuit of my athletic adventure. Now, let's just deal with people. Let's just face it. There are kids you're going to run into, girls and guys, that whose conduct is not befitting to what you want. They talk against their parents. They talk against the authority of the police. They talk against the authority of a teacher. And that's just not for you. If that's what they want to do, that's their deal. That's their deal. That's not what you want. Your judgment is about yourself. Your judgment is not about others. I do not want you going to school judging everybody. Well, that person's bad. That person's this and that person. Don't do that. You judge anybody, you're judging yourself. This is not what I want for my life right now. So I just really can't be running around with that person. Boy, they're cool and they're fun and they're this, they're that. She's attractive. He's attractive, all that kind of stuff. It's not what I want. You've got to, first of all, know yourself. That's the most important thing about picking friends. Know yourself. It isn't a matter of knowing that they're bad. It isn't a matter of knowing that they're this and they're that, and they smoke and they drink and they do this and they do that. That's just not what I want. If that's their gig, that's their gig. I'm not going to talk about them. I'm not going to run them down to anybody else. That's their deal. I'm making a decision about me. So that's really what I want you to kind of get in your mind as we start off. I don't want you judging others in your class, others in school. I want you to judge yourself. Evaluate yourself. What do I want? What do I want to do with my parents? What do I want to do with my respect of teachers and the coach and the policeman and these kinds of things? What about me? That's all that I want you to be aware of. So bad, let's deal with bad in this manner, that it's bad according to what I want to be. I want to be a Christian. They're not a Christian. They don't know Christ as Savior. I'm going to pray that they will. But that's not what I want, to run around with that kind of influence. So it says, bad. Another good way of working at it is worthless. It's worthless for what I want. Let's go back to our athletic example. The guy that just hangs out and eats hamburgers and chocolate milkshakes and this kind of thing. That's just worthless for what I want to do. I want to take care of myself. I want to be able to function into football or basketball or baseball or golf or soccer. There's so many sports today. But so whatever your sport is, that's just worthless for what I want to do. It's worthless for me to eat all that bad food. And it's worthless for me to run around with these people. It's worthless for me to hear people running down parents, running down the school, don't do homework. That's just worthless for what I want. If that's what they want to do, that's their business. That's not what I want about me. So the first thing you want to do in school is to make up yourself, Make up your mind about yourself. What am I? Who am I? Am I a Christian? Do I want to witness for Christ? Do I want to be a witness for Christ? See? It's just like, do I want to be an athlete? Do I want to make decent grades? Do I want to respect my parents and please my parents? You got to know about yourself. What do I want? So school's a good time to evaluate who and what I am, what I want. Not judge others, but evaluate myself as we start into school. So this is so bad. And then we have the word company. Now, company refers to associates, friends, this kind of thing. Now, some associates, some company, we don't have no choice. Let's say you're at a sporting event, and these are the guys on the team. You get, well, I'm not going to play because I don't like these people. There you go, judging again. Don't want you to become a judge. I want you to evaluate yourself. But company refers to those you associate with, your friend. Guys' friend, girls' friends, and guys' girls' friends, all this type of thing. So, bad, Greek word here refers to contrary to a goal. That'd be a bad friend. It's contrary to my goal. I want to please my parents. I don't want to hang around other people that run down their parents and run down parents in general, run down the church, run down God, run down the Bible. That's not conducive to what I want. I respect the Bible. I study the Bible. I believe in Jesus Christ. I want to grow to where He's my friend. All these kinds of things. So please understand, you're making a decision about yourself. Okay. Bad or unfavorable, worthless, and this the whole lot of words we could use other than bad. Contrary to my goals. And so company, people I associate with. And now we have the word corrupts good morals. Okay, the word to corrupt. I think every one of you old enough to know what the word corrupt means. Corrupt means to destroy, to ruin, to spoil. And so corrupt depends on the context. When you get older, you have corrupt in the deal of finances and dealing with a lot of these kind of things. But corrupt just means it ruins it. It destroys it. It spoils it. So it spoils. And then we have good morals. Now the word for morals refers to habits. Refers to norms and standards. Morality, character. Those moral covers so many aspects, but I think most of you have an idea of what it means. That it would corrupt, spoil, ruin good morals. Now, you got to make up your mind. Does that bother you? If having bad morals doesn't bother you, then all bets off. But if you want to fit into society and history, I'm not even talking spiritually, but just fit in, then you want to have good morals. Good morals build good character. Good character builds strong character. Strong character means you can make strong and difficult decisions in life. Got to make difficult decisions. Want to have strong character to do it. John Adams, one of our founders of our country, he left his wife and his children and to go to France to get us aid. And it hurt him. It hurt his wife. It hurt the children and all that. So he could just say, "Well, I've got to stay home with my wife." And that would have been a wonderful thing, staying with your wife. But he had to make a difficult decision to go to France and try to get them to help us in our war for independence. Now, how do you get that character? It starts at your age, in grade school, middle school, high school. It's where you start building the character. When you become an adult, away from mommy and daddy, you might have to make some strong decisions. Strong decisions come from strong character. Strong character is developed where you are right now in life. It's not just going to come to you all of a sudden. So you've got to have that aspect in mind. So good morals. And so this is the whole aspect of picking your friends. Now, having said that, let's go into some things that I just want to cover a multitude of things that you're going to have to deal with in school, and there's no particular order here, but let's just deal with manners. Let's just deal with manners. There are three ways I want you to look at manners. One, it's an art. You're going to be an artist. Two, they're a rule. And three, they are a medium. Now, what's a medium? Money is a medium. You go up and you give a guy $5, he gives you a shirt, and what was the medium of exchange? Money. That was the medium of exchange. So medium, manners are a medium. The art of living with others, the rule of conduct, medium of conversing and dealing with each other. Let's just look at each of these and see if we can roll through these, and it gives you an idea of thinking about. Manners are something that we don't think that much about. But I want to tell you something about manners, young people. And that's this. Good manners often will not draw attention to themselves. You're sitting at a table and you've been taught to eat correctly. You know how to hold a knife and how to hold a fork and how to hold a spoon and how to cut and how to put the knife down and pick up the fork. We got a lot of rituals with our eating. We cut, put that down, pick up our fork, put it in the meat, and then we eat of it. A lot of people just want to cut and take the knife and put it in their mouth. But you don't do that. It's not good manners. Now, what happens? If you eat correctly, just using that as one of our illustrations of manners, you eat correctly, no one's going to draw any attention to that. No one's going to say, oh, wow, look, he knows how to do a fork. He knows how to eat soup with the spoon instead of the fork. All that kind of stuff. You have bad manners at the table. You do not know how to eat correctly. Everyone will notice. Bad manners shout. Good manners, no praise. Nobody's going to make a big deal about it. Bad manners, everyone's going to look at you and see, this person doesn't even know how to eat correctly. Now, that's just eating. We can talk about manners in a classroom, which we will. Talk about manners at home. Talk about manners with your siblings. Talk about manners with adults. Good manners generally don't draw attention to themselves. You have bad manners, and everyone's going to notice. This person doesn't even know how to treat and be treated by others. So let's look at manners as an art. You're going to come in contact with many people in your life. Kind of like places. School. Just because of school, you're going to come in contact with people. Church. Just because of this place, you're going to come in contact with people. Traveling. Work. You're just going to come in contact with people. Then the second category is people themselves. People older than you, people younger than you, people your own age, people better than you at something, people far worse than you at something. So you're going to come in contact with people in your own deal. Then you got relationships. You're going to come in contact with people in relationships. Authority, your parents, teachers, coach, police. And all these categories are going to be people in authority that form relationships that we're going to have to deal with. Now, manners, good manners, is the art of making these people feel ease, relaxed, when they come in contact with you. That's an art. That's an art. It is an art. For you young people to go spend the night with a friend and have the parents of the friend you're visiting feel at ease. Okay, this kid's going to be okay. Because I'll tell you right now, most normal parents, if you haven't been there before, they're freaking out. What is he going to steal? What's that person going to break? And what are they going to tear up? All this kind of thing. You come in with this art of putting them at ease in their own home. That's an art. That's an art. Just having people feel very at ease in their own surrounding. When they come in contact with you, they're not intimidated. They may be your age or something. They're not intimidated by you. They're not frightened, wondering what kind of person you're going to be. You're not rude. You're not ignoring. You stand correctly. Handle yourself correctly. and you have fun, and you're doing this without, I don't know how many young people today have the joy of watching this, this one person. And it was in Leave It to Beaver, Eddie Haskell. Now, if you don't know who Eddie Haskell is, I'm sorry, because he would charm everybody, but it was so phony. Yeah, hello, Mrs. Beaver, how are you? And on all this, and you look so nice today. You want to throw up. It's an art in how to be around other people and make them feel at ease. But the art of setting people at ease around you is what good manners does. Making people feel relaxed and they don't have to be concerned. That's really good. Let's say you have some friends at school, associates at school. They're handicapped. Other kids make fun of them. You can be around them and make them totally at ease. Just make them at ease. They don't feel like they do are out of line. They don't feel like they are a handicap around you. It's an art. It's a beautiful art that you just can make people, depending on their circumstances, feel at ease. You're not uptight about their handicap. You're not uptight about the way they speak, the way they walk, the way they move. They're totally relaxed with you. It's an art. It's an art. Now, this would be okay for non-Christians, but I'm speaking to Christians. And we got to talk about our witness of Christ in all of this. You got to decide where Christ is going to fit into your life. Young people, you can be a witness for Christ and never say his name. You can be a witness for Christ and never even talk about him. But people, parents, other friends, what makes this young person so relaxing? What makes them make me feel okay? I'm handicapped. And yet, when I'm around them, I feel okay. I wonder what's different about them. And they'll find out. They'll find out what makes you different. And what makes you different is your relationship with Jesus Christ. So you respect people, respect who and what they are, and so the art that you've developed is to make people relaxed around you. Now secondly, this is the one we all know. Manners are a rule. They're called rules of conduct, called the code of conduct. Good manners demonstrates that you have the ability, the capacity, the thought ability to submit to norms and standards outside of yourself. And a lot of people today don't. Arrogance lacks manners. But a relaxed attitude, walking in the spirit, certainly for a Christian, but you're not above rules. There are rules. There are rules of conduct. A man opens a door for a lady. That's just a rule of conduct. And so there's so many rules of conduct that we have, norms and standards. And an arrogant person, I don't have to do that. I'm above these norms and standards. I'm above everyone. These people aren't any better than me. People, remember one thing about manners? It doesn't mean the other person is better than you because you show good manners in front of them. It has nothing to do with that. Once again, it's about you. What's going on in your soul? Do you respect others? Do you respect elders? Do you respect, both if you're a boy, do you respect girls? And on through life, do you respect these things or are you above them all? I don't care about all that stuff. That's arrogance. That's total arrogance. So they do not have to respect people, be nice with people. But good manners, that code of conduct, you have to submit. You submit to those things. Now, you may, and I'm just going to be very frank in some of these things, but you may just have something you really want to say. But right now, that's an adult conversation. You're not invited in it. You be quiet. Just respect that. Well, wait a minute. I'm just as good. It's not about you being as good. It's not about you not having anything to add. It's just that some adults talking. And unless you are invited, unless you understand the company, you have good manners at the table. Good manners. It's the rules. There are rules of eating. There are rules of sitting. You sit proper. You don't sit there with your elbows on the table. It's not good manners. Yeah, and what this is an appreciation. What you're learning here, young people, is about your own body. You're learning to control your own body. You got to control your own body at the table. You don't slouch. You sit straight. Feet on the floor. Respectful. That's good manners. It shows you're aware of yourself and aware of where you are. So good manners in all areas of our life is so important. So it has that, you know, I'm not above sitting correctly. I'm not above respectful people. I'm respectful of other people. So this is true of your peers, true of everyone. There are certain conducts that we do with them. Okay, let's go on. We got to move on to the medium. Medium. Money is the medium in business. Manners, the medium between people. It's how you deal with one another. As a medium, manners demonstrate an awareness of your own presence of a person. Good manners demonstrates an awareness and thoughtfulness of others. Thoughtfulness of their presence. See, a lot of people have bad manners. They just, I don't care about anybody else. Manners is a medium, way you deal with people. Okay, you're starting to pick friends. Not be picked, but pick. You want somebody to just rude everybody? I sure don't. That's a bummer. You wanna pick a friend who's always got to talk, always got to give their view? I don't, because I have a view, and I'd like to share mine in there. See, what you got to do is, it's a medium. And if you want people to respect you, and I'm just going to say it, and like you, then it's a medium. Somebody comes up, they're rude, their mouth is rude, all these things. I don't want them as my friend. I don't want a friend like that. I don't care how popular they are. I don't care how good looking she is. I don't care how good of an athlete he is. I don't want to be around that kind of person. That's just not what I want. Here's somebody over here that nobody knows, but they're nice. They're fun. They're enjoyable. I'm going to hang around them. So, because it's about you, not judging others. It's about you judging yourself. So it's a medium. And you want to remember this. There is not a person on earth who does not desire to be treated appropriately. You want to be treated appropriately. They want to be treated appropriately. There's not a person alive that does not want to be treated appropriately. We don't want to overpraise and bow to anybody and boy, make them think they're just the greatest thing. On the other hand, you don't treat them wrongly either, like they don't count. And you treat them how you want to be treated. That's how we deal with these things as a medium. And so every one of us in life, is we want to be treated respectfully. Above you, they want to be treated a certain way. Below you, they want to be treated a certain way. Can't you? Well, this little kid, I don't want to be that. No, you got to treat them respectfully. And people your own age. And so good manners and involves so many areas of our life. It involves eating properly, sitting properly, speaking properly, dressing properly, poise. Arrogance is above that. I can do whatever I want to do. I can dress however I want. I can wear my hair however I want. I don't have to be a respect of anybody but myself. That's all that I have to do. So there's a lot of problems in this respect. Now, let's go to a couple other things. Going to be in school. And inevitably, because of school, da-da-da-da, their test. Boo. And because of their test, there's always cheating. The opportunity to cheat. The desire to cheat. Now, here's my overall statement. Do you care more about that grade or more about your witness of Christ? Which is more important? Is that grade so important that you're going to cheat and lose your witness? For momentarily anyway. Which is more important? Is that grade that important that you would cheat? I'm sorry to say, sometimes grades weren't that important. I didn't even study. But it's just, you have to decide here in dealing with cheating. And there are a lot of reasons for cheating that you can play in your mind, deceive yourself. For example, well, everyone else is doing it. No, not everyone else is doing it. So don't deceive yourself with that one. Well, I get a poor grade, and everybody else is going to get a good grade. Pressure to help others. See, it's not always you doing the cheating by looking on somebody else's paper. It's you allowing them to look on your paper. So there's always the pressure to help others. And I didn't have time to study, so just cheating isn't going to hurt that much. I'm not going to give you any examples of cheating. I've seen them all and witnessed them all in, 12 and 18, 20 years of education. So there's hardly any system of cheating that is going to escape me. And one of the cutest, cleverest ones was a guy in our high school. His sister was deaf, and so they had to use hand language. And he had a good friend that also was all, so he knew it. So he stood outside in the hall with the textbook, and he hand signaled him the question, and he'd look it up in the book and hand signal it back to him. And he didn't have to say anything. He didn't have to look at it, just look around and look out there and do this. And I always thought that was pretty cool. I almost wanted to learn sign language. But there are just so many clever ways of learning how to cheat. And the deal isn't see if you can get away with it. Cheating is indicative of what's going on in your soul. I want something I don't deserve. I want something that I didn't work for, but I can get, and I fool the system. No, you haven't, kids. All you've done is fool yourself. And you made a fool of yourself. That is just not going to work. And there are a lot of false reasons for not cheating. For an example, the big one, fear of getting caught. Fear of being expelled. Fear of letting it become a crutch. You're going to cheat in everything. People, what you want to do is, I don't want to cheat because I am a Christian. I don't want to cheat because I'm walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And I really don't think the Holy Spirit's going to lead me to cheat. But cheating is one of those things you're going to be tempted of often in school, throughout your school career. And you may say, well, I don't normally cheat, but boy, this is a big test, and I'm not too good here. Let me just tell you, what I'm trying to say is, you can talk yourself into cheating. Don't think you can't. You might be listening here and thinking, oh, well, I'm not a cheater. This doesn't bother me. Let me assure you, you will. You will be tempted to cheat somewhere in your education system. And the higher you get, the more vulnerable you are to cheating. So, was there much cheating in the academy? I guess that answered that question. Wow. And it's just amazing. And there they were in the academy and these things, and you get caught, and you may think you're going to get away with it. And the bad part is when you do get away with it. That's really bad. When you get away with it, because you think, I kind of got this down now. So when I really need this, I can do this. So you just want to be really careful. So let's take up a few reasons why we don't want to cheat. One, it's wrong. It's wrong. You're cheating yourself. And that's really who you're cheating. You're not cheating the school. You're not cheating the teacher. You're not cheating your friend. You're cheating yourself. It is number two. You're not being led of the Holy Spirit. And you know it. When we cheat, we know we're not being led of the Holy Spirit. So these things all relate to our relationship with Christ. You're witness to other people. Let's say you cheat off of somebody. They're an unbeliever. They're not going to be all that much to hear about what you've got to say about Jesus Christ if you cheat off of them. So the Word of God teaches us the truth and give us an understanding that even the teacher does not have the ability to give you the kind of truth that you need. And very important, people, going back to what I was saying, there's going to be no point in your life where you're going to be tempted to cheat that God has not given you the ability to say, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to take a failing grade if it means a failing grade. Sometimes we worry so much about grades that we cheat, we lower ourselves, we don't feel good about it. The grades just aren't that big of a deal. No one is ever going to go back and find out how you did on a test in the 11th grade. They're just not going to. It just isn't that big of a deal. And I'm not saying this should be your attitude, but when I was growing up, I never just cared that much about a grade that I had to cheat. I should have cared more about a grade. I had too much fun. But cheating, just don't let it start in your soul. Don't become a cheater in life. You cheat at school. You cheat in games. You cheat with just friends. And that's your character, people. That's your character being developed. You don't want to put that in your resume that he was a cheater. It just isn't going to be what you want to have in your repertoire about who and what you are. And the last thing I want to say about cheating, after all that I've said, you don't want to be a rat fink. Don't squeal on those who you see cheating. It's just let God work it out. Let it all just work out. It doesn't bother you. Just don't become a rat fink. Well, I studied hard and I deserved my B, and they cheated. And don't do that. It's not about you there. Just leave them alone and don't be a rat fink and got to tell everything you know about someone else. That just isn't going to work. You don't want to get that as your character in life. A lot of these things we're looking at are how you're going to be known throughout your whole life. So you don't want to become a squealer and tell when other people are cheating, even though you know what they're doing. Okay, let's talk about lying. Talk about lying for a moment. Oh yes, the Bible says we shouldn't do it. Got that down. That doesn't mean we're not going to be doing it. That doesn't mean we're not going to be tempted. We're all going to be tempted in life, throughout our life, in school, in the activities you're engaged in, of lying. Here again, people, it's your character. It's what you'll be known for. And if you want to be known, well, that person's a liar. You just can't trust anything they say. And girls will say, well, he's just a liar. And people get that around. People talk about you. What are they going to say? Hey, he's a cheat and a liar. You don't want that. So how do you not have it? Don't lie. A lot of reasons why we lie. To conceal the truth. To hide what we don't want somebody to find something out. People, whatever it is that they would find out is not as bad as being known as a liar. My parents my mother especially reared us. We'd get a whipping if we did something. But if we lied, it was really bad. That was really it. It wasn't so mad about what we did, but when you were caught lying, you were really in trouble. My brothers and sister and I, we were in trouble if we lied. We lied about each other, lied about who broke that. Nobody broke it, but it's broke. Wonder how that happened. And whoever, when they found out who did it, you got far more trouble if you just said, I broke it. And sometimes nothing happened. You kind of amazed you, what's she up to? She's not whipping me, and I did that. See, but if you lie, you're developing a character. You're developing a character flaw that'll last you all through your life. This person is a liar. So you don't want to be known as a liar. And okay, let's go to another one. I'm running out of time here. Let's talk about talking. Let's talk about vocabulary, proper language, expressing yourself, decent grammar. Vocabulary is the means of thinking and expressing oneself. Therefore, desire, if you desire to express yourself properly, then you want to work on that. That's why we have words, young people. That's why we have spelling tests. And I know so often that to some kids they really love spelling tests because they do so well in it. Other kids like me, let's see if I can learn 80% of them and get by. But words are our medium of communication to a person. And a person with a low vocabulary, not a very big vocabulary, all they really can do is express profanity. All they can do is cuss. And the worse they can cuss, the more they think they're expressing themselves. How low they can speak. That's not expressing yourself. That's just expressing you got a gutter mind, a gutter mouth. What is really cool, the really cool thing is to be able to tell off somebody with such beautiful words, they don't even know they've been told off. They don't even know what you called them. What did he just call me? I got to go home and look up some of those words in the dictionary. You want to learn to communicate. And that's what words are for. They're expression of yourself to someone else. We have to be trained. We have to be trained to speak properly. Speak proper grammar, proper usage of words. Here's another one of those principles we saw with manners at the table. You speak properly, most people aren't going to pay a big attention to that. They're going to go along. You speak improperly, boom, they're going to get it. It just shouts out at you. I've been a pastor over 35 years, and boy, I can go along, and if I misuse a word or a sentence or the wrong connection of the verb and object and all that, there'll be people that'll recognize it immediately. I do. When I'm saying, when it's coming out of my mouth, no, it's already out. You want to be able to communicate properly. You want to be able to express yourself properly. This is so vital as far as life is concerned. And avoiding poor grammar, vulgar grammar, profanity. These indicate self-control. They indicate, hey, this person has a mind. They're thinking when they communicate with each other. Proper grammar is to be practiced and encouraged at home. We'll be able to do this at home. It's not good language. And it's not about your parents, those parents who do care. It's not about them wanting to be mean to us. It's about they care about how we speak. That's what they care about. It's not about, and it's not a reflection, oh, my poor kid, it's a reflection on me. No, it isn't. It's a reflection on you. And they just want you to be able to communicate and express yourself correctly. And so the main thing this involves, though, and here's the key, it involves knowing proper language. It involves having a vocabulary. It involves speaking out. It involves opening your mouth, articulating, and saying what you have to say, looking at someone. This gets back to the manners. You look at them straight in the eye. Talk with an adult. Don't be afraid to do that. You're occupied with yourself. Just if they've asked you something, or you got something to say with them, look at them straight in the face. Talk to them. Shake their hand with some firm grip. If you're a lady, a young lady, just be polite and courteous. Speak out when you've got something to say. Speaking has everything to do with who and what you are. Now, very close to speaking clearly and correctly is reading. All right, this is how you develop a good vocabulary, by reading. Reading trash? No. Reading good stuff, reading effective books, effective articles, this is how you pick up vocabulary, how you want to speak, and you pick it up. And the most important book you should read is what? The Bible. The Bible, people. I mean, Christians a lot of times don't even read the Bible. There are non-Christians who read the Bible. They love what's in it. Now, if you're doing it for language, you don't want to read the King James, but you read the Bible to learn, to think, and to learn to study, and learn these things. So that's the most important thing in regard to the reading. You want to read, develop a vocabulary, and I'll tell you what. I don't mind saying telling you this. I'm 67. I have a dictionary where when I'm reading the newspaper every morning and I see a word I don't know, I look it up. I'm not embarrassed. Maybe I ought to know that word. I don't know it. I want to look it up, see what it says, see what that word is, see if I can use it in class, see if I can use it somewhere. But being able to read, being able to communicate is so important. Let me give you another one. This may surprise you. A good sense of humor. A good sense of humor. Not silliness. Not being insipid or morbid. But just a good sense of humor. Now, all my life, those are the kind of people I picked as my friends. They may be somebody that nobody knows in school, or everybody knows. I don't care. The person has a good sense of humor. Boy, that I wouldn't marry a person that didn't have a good sense of humor. I wouldn't be a good friend if somebody didn't have a good sense of humor. If you don't have a good sense of humor, you're generally too occupied with yourself. You can't laugh at yourself. You got to learn to laugh at yourself. Laugh at with what is funny, what's humorous. And you want to be careful what you laugh at. You don't want to laugh at crude dirt. But you laugh at things that are humorous. So that becomes very important. Another one. I see we're not going to get at all of them, so I'll just kind of go over some. Another one. Dress. Hygiene. Not just because it's good health. Take care of your teeth. Not just because that's good for your whole body to take care of your teeth. But let's face it, nobody looks to just look at someone who has yellow teeth and not take care of them as young people. You want to just take care of yourself. Somebody's got to look at you. And they got to smell your breath. They're not going to if it's ugly, if it's repulsive smell. So in the proper dress, hygiene, and not being in style or having the best, most expensive, but things that are decently in style, proper dress for the proper occasion. You're not going to wear a bathing suit to school. You're not going to wear the wrong type of clothing for church. You start thinking, learn to communicate with others now. I don't want to dress out of the way, everybody. I want to be dressed properly for everything that I'm going to be doing. So how we dress, the shoes, socks, and all the clothing, the dress and the slacks, all these things, they say something about you. And what they say is, you know what, I don't care about anybody but me. And I'm going to dress however I want. Or they say, this person respects other people. It's not just all about them. It's not about them. It's about treating others respectfully. So this is a part of what clothing is all about. And dressing in proper manner. Okay. Kindness. Kindness. People, I don't know if you know it or not, but we're saved because of the kindness of God. Do you not know that it was my kindness that brought you to repentance, to faith? Kindness is part of spiritual love that the Holy Spirit gives. Learning to be kind, thoughtful, kind at home toward your siblings, your brothers and sisters, your parents, friends, school, church, everywhere. Just learn to be kind. What is kindness? Let me tell you what kindness is. Kindness, I cannot give you a rule or any type of thing that you can do. I can tell you this. Kindness observes. It observes something that someone needs at a given time. It may be nothing more than somebody needs a pen. Somebody in school, maybe you don't even like them, but they drop their pen, they don't have a pen or pencil, and you hand it to them. That's kindness. You're aware of what's going on. You see someone in church looking for a lady, looking for a purse, for a pen, you hand her one. That's kindness. Kindness is aware of all people all the time. What is this? You're not thinking about yourself. When it's all about me, I can come in, sit however I want, slouched over, do whatever I want to do. It's all about you. But if it's about others, if it's about your witness of Christ, You're observant. You're observant of this person, that person. And boys, observe it. Mother doesn't have a spoon at the table. You go get her one. That's observant. That's kindness. It is always observing what others are doing. And see if something's needed that you can do without making a big deal about it. Just be kind to them. So this is very important. And I'll end with this one. May surprise you. Timing. Timing. Can't believe how many people are not enjoy to be around because they're always late. They just do not have good timing. And this is so important in life, in school, in family, in church, in fun. Timing. Going to tell somebody you're going to be there? Be there. We've developed a bad habit, and I'm not being critical here, just showing you what happens at home. Your mom, dad says, do this in a minute, 15 minutes later maybe. See, that's not good timing. And so I'm not knocking that so much, but just in life, you want to be in control of how you use your time. I don't have time to study this. I didn't have time to do my homework. It's all about timing. Yes, you did have time. You just chose not to handle your timing correctly. So you've got to be able to say, I've only had 1 hour to do this, so I better get it done now. So timing is so important in your dealing with each other. And it's true in your dates. It's true in school. It's true in so many things. Just good timing. Well, those are some of the things we want to look at. Yes, sir. Respect for authority. Okay, we're going to hour two. Again, this goes back, people, young people, to looking at yourself. Are you above authority? Are you above the authority of your parents? And generally speaking, if a young person doesn't respect the authority of their parents, they will not respect the authority of a teacher, a coach, policeman, anyone. The respect of authority is fundamental to your whole life. Being able to submit, respect, respond to authority. Whatever that authority is, if it's a, you may not even like it. I don't like my teacher this year. You know that? I just don't like my teacher this year. They're your authority. They're your authority. And you're just going to give yourself a bad attitude if you say those kind of things and not respect their authority. If you just say, well, you know what? This isn't the kind of teacher I'd have chosen, but it's my math teacher, it's his English teacher, it's the teacher, and I've got to respect her, respect him. It's like in the military. In the military, you do not look at the rank, or at the person. All you do is look at the rank. If there are men that when women started becoming officers on a bigger scale than days gone by, well, that really rubbed a lot of men wrong. But what you learn to do is, you don't even see that's a woman. You don't see that that's a man. You don't see that that's a black person. You don't see that that's a white person. You don't see that that's an oriental person. All you see is that rank. All you see is they're a captain. They're a major. They're a drill sergeant. Whatever they are, it outranks you. That's all you see. And that's what you respect. It's not that they're above you in a moral way, a human way. They're above you as a teacher. They're above you as rank. They're above you as coach. And that's all you need to see and hear. You don't have to see and hear and like anything about them. All you need to know is, this is my coach. I don't care what race they are. I don't care what sex they are. I don't care what any of those things. If they're your teacher, they're your coach, they're your authority, they're your authority. You learn to say, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. That's just good. And people, good manners and these things really stick out. This last June, my wife and I were in the Grand Canyon, and we walked about 2 miles down, and we were at the rest area, and this young man and his family walked by, and I'm going to say he was 10 or 11, and I just said, how you doing, young man? And he said, very good, sir, thank you. I nearly fell over. I knew I was drinking water, and I nearly spilled all my water. I could not believe the good manners. Good manners just shout, people. They just shout at you. But what we're talking about is respect authority in school. Respect the authority of the guard on the street where you cross the street. They're an authority there. They may be 89 years old. They're authority on you crossing that street. They may be some woman, some man, some whatever, whoever they are. Now, when I went to school, kids did that. It was an honor. You got to wear a white belt and go out and have the stick. Of course, sometimes we'd end up in a sword fight with them, but... And if you got caught, you lost your privilege of doing that. But they're an authority. And for you not to respect it, what you're saying is, I'm above you. I'm more important than you. No, you're not. You're arrogant. So just, you get along so well in life, you just learn to respect authority. Anything else? Okay. Well, I hope these points bear a little bit on your mind. And be thoughtful about them. Also, one other thing in school, now I don't know how they do it today anymore, but do they assign where you sit in school today? Sometime? And sometime they don't? Yeah. Well, even where you sit, people can be so important. You sit on the back row where all the other Joes are sitting, you won't pay attention to the teacher maybe. You sit up here in the front row where her eyes are right on you and his eyes are right on you, you're more likely to pay attention. More likely to wonder what's going on. And so you want to think about where you sit and with whom you sit. You sit next to somebody always talking, dropping things, drawing, getting in trouble. There you go. That's going to happen to you. So, okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're left here on earth after we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior for a reason. It is not a matter that the moment we believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, you take us home. We remain here on earth. And we remain here on earth for a reason. And part of that reason is to be a witness of Jesus Christ, our Savior, our friend. Part of that witness involves not just giving the gospel by mouth, but our actions. We act incorrectly, people won't even want to hear what we have to say. We cheat, we lie, people really won't want to hear what we have to say. So all these things that we looked at, Heavenly Father, deal with our witness of Christ. Without even mentioning Jesus Christ, they're part of our witness. I pray, Father, that Your Spirit will take the things that we've looked at tonight and many more, but the things we've looked at tonight, work inside of young children, Christians, in grade school, middle school, high school, in college, and dealing with each other in life. Father, pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.